Great. Okay, Tov. Okay. Ratzti Katzat, I ran a bit out on the outside of the kibbutz, and I met an Israeli flag, Degel. It was there. And as I was running past the flag, I was thinking how strong the message is of a flag, Degel, Israeli flag, or any flag. The message goes straight, deep, and immediate. Israeli flag. If you stop and look at this flag, what is it actually? There's the wind is blowing the cloth, like in the Zen phrase, is it the, when you see a flag waving, is it the wind or is it your mind? Or is it the flag? No answer. What's blowing the flag? What's moving? How are you? How many ways do you look at this flag? Or only one? Israeli flag. End. Finished. There's nothing wrong with looking at that flag as an Israeli flag. It's part of the way the mind works and the training we've had and the conditioned we've had is being in Israel or England or wherever. Nothing wrong. It's not wrong. But it's just contracted. And it's contracted because it's immediate and it's an immediate association that dominates this moment. So I think just for me it was an example of what we're talking about here. Our struggle is to come out of that place where everything is immediately contracted, mitkavetz, into the known story. And this is not theoretical, because the known story gives us sometimes so much pain and suffering. The known story that we have in our relationships with other people, in our relationship with ourselves, in our struggles in life, in our disappointments and frustrations and the way that everything contracts around that story and gives us, it's not the story is wrong. I should, and sometimes this is something that comes up in this sort of spiritual life. I have to cancel the story or fight it, or I have to, it's wrong to see the flag as an Israeli flag. It's not wrong. But what's the painful part is the contraction, the way the whole mind is kind of collected around this thing called my problem, or my Israeliness, or my body, or my relationships, or my family, or my work, or my politics, in this whatever. So that's something we can do. We can work with, and it's important to understand it's not wrong, but it what we can work with here is expanding the view so that what comes up doesn't dominate the difficulty we have and the struggle we have in life, doesn't take over all the shetach of our heart and our mind. And that's something we can do here. We can expand the heart and expand the mind so that it doesn't get taken over by our human suffering. And it's important to understand that in relation to the subject, anatta and atta, because, again, it's no problem in being a self. It's not that there's something wrong, we have to somehow fight the self, because the Buddha said, non-self. We're in the wrong territory if it's not wise, because we just can't do it. It's the self fighting the self. We're stuck. We can't fight the self. So forget anatta. We said it before. We don't want the self to start fighting the self. There's no point. But what we can do is see a bigger world in which the selfing has its part to play. And there is the wisdom, and there is a lot of freedom, and including and especially freedom from issues which make us suffer, which are a lot of the issues in the world that make us suffer, are this self against another self or other selves. If the other self is our partner or our Netanyahu, or it doesn't matter, it's still selves against selves and bumping into each other and causing a lot of suffering. So how do we do that in practice? And I use the example of the flag because it was just, to me, as I was running past it, I thought, that's a good example. The immediate seeing of the flag as Israeli flag is immediate, miyadi, is there, and we don't challenge that. We don't expand on it. So it's the same with our meditation. The immediate seeing of something like my back is hurting or my heart is pain, immediate seeing of it is just the beginning. Just like the beginning of seeing the flag. Then begin to get close. Begin to open, begin to get intimate with what it is we're seeing. It needed me to be intimate with the flag and look at the way the cloth is moving and feel the wind blowing the cloth and look at the colours and know that it's blue and not pink and look at the thoughts that are coming in here as the observer of the flag. So all that opening out, and therefore the immediate message Israeli flag, is in a context of a much fuller relationship. That's what mindfulness can do. That's what we're practicing here. So we get close, we take an experience which can be one breath, or now we've been here one or two days, we can begin to look at other messages that are coming up. I'll talk about that in a minute. But we get close, we begin to unpack the wrapping, unwrap it, the gift. Just take off the wrapping. What's inside the kazeh, the kalef? And we do it with one breath, we do it with one step, we do it with one feeling, we do it with retzef machshavot, we do it with our reactions to something. Very, very basic, like chamli. It's very basic. The practice here, chamli, is the beginning, not the end. That's where we start. Chamli. Okay, if I begin to unpack that, like the Israeli flag, okay, that's the first feeling. Now let me look at that. To unpack. Efo chamli. What am I doing with it? Efo lo noach. Efo lo noach li. Lo noach li lazia. אוקיי, אני עם זה. עכשיו הגוף אומר ככה. המיינד אומר ככה. What am I doing with it? Oh, I wish I was in Yavan right now. Why the hell am I in Israel? I should be somewhere else. איפה איסלנד? אני ראיתי תמונות מדהימות של איסלנד. מה המיינד? What's the mind doing with this חמלי? Seeing the... not again. עוד חשוב. חמלי זה לא טעות. וזה לא משהו שצריך נגד. חמלי זה הזמנה. Look here. That's what's interesting right now. Okay? So this sense of unpacking, keep doing it with anything that arises. There is a light, a default preference, in this retreat, okay? We start more with the body, we're moving a little bit into Vedana, liking, not liking, we're moving into territory of mind and heart. Okay, there's a slight track. But actually, the most important thing is that the way we unpack our experience, which can be body, breath, thought, feelings, and kind of matzavei ruach, you know, something that seems like the whole day is like this. It's not just an experience, it seems like it has a retzef. So maybe coming up tiredness, may coming up resistance, may coming up boredom, she'imum, may come up anger, maybe you want to, like I say, what the hell am I doing here? I should be in Yavan. Whatever, it's okay. All that is human experience. Nothing to be cancelled. Nothing wrong. There's no experience here that is wrong. I shouldn't have this. I should be joyful and happy. Who says? I didn't say. So you're not getting it from the teachers. On the contrary, Buddhist teachers maybe say the opposite. You should be miserable because otherwise we don't have dukkha. There's nothing wrong with what you experience. Okay? But we should remember this is the beginning, the invitation. So, what arises, I still think, and you all know it already, but I'll remind again, rain, R-A-I-N, it's just really good summary. Recognize it, because sometimes we're really thinking, I want to go into Yavan. We don't recognize that it's a mind process that is about escaping somewhere. We don't notice it, we believe it, we're in it. So recognize what it is, allow it to be what it is, nothing is wrong. Everything is chomagelim here, nothing is wrong. Okay, anything in the human realm is, the Buddha never once used the word raw. Bad, evil, never, in all his talks. It's not wrong, it's material to work with, okay, allow it. Rain, I, is the, what I said about the flag. Just get close, explore, open it, unpack it, and N, it's just happening. It's a phenomenon, tofa'a, it's just arising, it's just arriving. Again, it's just arriving, it's just an experience that arises. Okay? Non-identification. I is the hood. I is the hood. Although just a few days ago I heard that Tara Brach has got a new book, which I haven't seen it, on compassion. And she used another word for the N, which is nutrition, feeding, which is a very much very important Buddhist word. But from our point of view here, non-identification, ihisdahut, it's just arising. It's just happening. So this is an important one, because if we notice ihisdahut, what that means is it's just happening as a tofa'a, as an experience. It's not happening as me. So that's where we begin to recognize it in a very clear, simple way. The way the self jumps in and owns everything. We need to kind of a little bit see the way that happens. We're not here to undo the self, we're here to recognize it. We're here to know the self, we're here to meet the self. So when we have an experience like, my back is hurting, in there is the message of ownership, ba'alut. It's not the only message. My back is hurting, like the Israel flag, is full of experiences. Where it is exactly, is it this part, is it this part, is it moving, where is it going, is it sharp, is it strong, is it light, is it there all the time, is it, when is it not there, when is it there, if I change my posture, what happens then, it's a dynamic, how is it to do with my mind, what am I saying about it, where am I taking it, what do I believe about it, and how much I see it as mine, this back, and how much is just back doing its thing. All of that is getting close and opening that experience of back pain. And one of the places that we discover is the ownership, a ba'alut. It's not the only part, but it's one of the, and that's important understanding of self. That it's a self jumps in and owns things. And all we need to do is see it. It's not wrong. It's not a problem that we have to somehow mochek, get out our mochek, and just wipe it out. Goenka, I think, doesn't use the word me, does he? Do you remember? I think in my talks with Goenka way back, I believe he didn't use the word ani, as if it was wrong. And Krishnamurti kept saying ata, you, but he meant himself. He never used the word I. He said, you felt that, and he means I felt that, but he didn't want to use the word I. You don't need to do that. Recognize the self arising and taking ownership of the back pain, but recognizing that there's many, many other things happening when the back is hurting. That's all we have to do. We don't have to fight it. We don't have to say it's a problem. We don't have to try and undo the self. Don't need to. And then it becomes a phenomena and becomes interesting. This back pain, instead of the simplicity of my back is hurting, what am I going to do about it, I need a doctor, that simplicity, it opens up, and then we discover the way the ownership, a ba'alut, of my back pain increases the suffering, it makes it, there's a sufferer there, we discover it by itself. We don't have any theory of self. Forget it. No theory. And just see the way when the self arises and says, my back pain, how much that increases the suffering, and how much it's only one way of looking at the back. There's many other ways of looking at the back that is not through the filter of my. Okay? That's what we're practicing here. It's a very funny little story. I love this one. It's also in my talks and in the courses on self. But a friend of mine told me about it. It's in a Russian author called Kirillov. It's about the way that the self jumps in and owns everything. There was a horse that was really, really stuck in the mud, in the betsa, and couldn't get out. And it was struggling and sweating and trying to pull his feet out, and it trying. After a long time struggle, the horse managed to get out of the betsa of the bots and stood there. At that moment, Zvuv Katan, a little fly that was sitting on the tail of the horse all the time, flew up to the ear and said, "We did it." That's the self. Takes ownership. Okay. Experiences are made of many things. We're really here to unpack experience. I remember a story of my own. Excuse me telling the same stories again and again to people who have been with me for a while, but I can't help it. And this was when I was in the Alps. I really love to I haven't traveled abroad for the last couple of years, and the one place in the world I really would like to go tomorrow would be Alpin. I really enjoyed walking in the mountains. Anyway, I was walking in the mountains and with my sister, and it was just a wonderful afternoon, and then I saw the path kind of stopped on this side and became a tsuk, a cliff. And I kind of moved away, and down there was like 2 kilometers down, tiny little houses way down, and it was like a tsuk. So I moved away, and something in my childhood was here, like fear. They walked and carried on, and then the other side also became a tsuk. And we were walking on a narrow path. On both sides was like 1 or 2 kilometers down. It was, in English you call it a ridge. I don't know what you call it in Hebrew. It was like that. And we were walking on a path that was maybe this wide, and down there was nothing, and down there was nothing. All my childhood fears made me collapse. I collapsed on the ground. I couldn't move. I couldn't breathe. It was so biological. I was lying there, my face on the earth. After about 2 or 3 minutes, I realized, wait a minute, you're a Dharma teacher. This is not a good position to be in. Do something. So I got up, I sat down, I breathed, and then exactly this teaching came to me, which is every experience is made of many things. And it was the reminder of what you call the mitzorfim, mitzrafim, that every experience is made of many elements. So the part of the experience that was making me so frightened of gavoa, of height, was some kind of a sikkum that I was making, which was very strong and very primal and very built into the system from childhood. But if I could open this experience to its elements, then surely the problem must dissolve. And actually that's what happened. I walked then and I just saw little spots of red and green there. Little spots of red and green there, little stones, and the feeling of the stones on my feet, the air on my cheeks. Where was gava? Didn't exist. At that moment, I didn't make out of it a story at all. The only problem is it needed so much concentration that after like 15 minutes walking like that, my concentration stopped for a moment, and then the whole thing came back, and I collapsed again. And then I got up and did it again. As long as I could keep the concentration, that is perception, without building any story, senses, knowing, small things, without putting them all together to a picture of me and the fear and the world. So it was an important lesson for me that I never forgot. And it was an important lesson because it was very strong. The minute I let it become a picture, me and I collapsed. It's a really powerful lesson for me. So break up your experience into its pieces. This is a primary teaching. We're going to be working with this later on in this retreat. It's the second talk of the Buddha. The first talk was the Four Noble Truths. The second talk was about this. Break up your experience into its elements and it doesn't threaten anymore. It's just. Senses. It's just a thought arising and passing. It's just. Tofa'a, tofa'ot. It helps to see anicca, meaning that things pass by. The Buddha's teaching called every experience, the elements of an experience, bubbles, buot, that are there for just one moment and burst. Perception, senses, thought, feeling, the wind right now on our faces, the sound that you're hearing and that I'm making. Where is it now? Gone, 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 all the time. Everything is gone. We can never see anything because it's gone by the time we look at it. It's already gone. So it's that helps us, including if something feels very stuck, like a thought that goes round and round and round of a problem in our life. It feels stuck. It only feels stuck because we put it up there as a dominant thought and we think it's constant. If we look at it, we see it's also made of bubbles and made of other things, and just arising again and again because we give it space and importance. We gave it power. If we see it as arising, a phenomena arising, it takes its power away. It arises and passes, arises and passes. We need to relax for this. We need to be at ease for this. This is not about struggle. We need to relax. We need to be soft. We need to be kind. We will have dukkha. We will have difficulty. Things may come up that are a problem for us. It's just the nature of existence for us and for every ant and for every bird in the sky. They'll be unpleasant and pleasant. But allowing, being soft with ourselves, being kind, dukkha may come, but we're basically okay. We feel I can cope with that. It's workable. That's a very strong message, by the way. It's not stum. It's actually a very strong message, and we usually forget it. When dukkha comes, it tends to dominate the picture, a bit like the fear of Gova that I have, totally dominated. But actually, we can allow it with kindness and softness as being part of the picture. And especially in this kind of work we're doing, try and reduce the struggle. Just feel there's part of me that's okay. If we all can sit 45 minutes quietly, we're okay. We're all right. One of my teachers once said, "You're warm, dry, and well-fed, so shut up." Basically, we're all right. Remember that, okay? That we can have all kinds of experiences, but we're basically all right. That needs to be remembered. So dukkha can come up, but it doesn't dominate everything, because there's an underneath sense of trust and confidence. That basically, I couldn't be here if I wasn't basically all right. We couldn't sit a retreat if we're not basically okay. But we just sometimes we don't notice that. We forget it. We're looking for the problem. So we forget something very basic. I'm okay. Sometimes enjoy the big view here. Really, since we are in a bigger space here, we are on the earth, especially, it's lovely to sit outside, to feel ourselves together with. And small reminder, our problematic world is a sort of middle ground called, from this self here looking at the world. But if we go into the microscope, zoom in, there's just phenomena of arising of sensations and feelings, and the back is, says this, and the heart says that, and the thought says this, and the, all the messages and the, everything is, you know, called a ta'im, all the cells are talking life, and they're all saying. So that's in the zoom in, and the zoom out, we see the trees, and the, so in zoom in and zoom out, there's no problem. It's the middle ground that's the problem. There, you know, the sense of the shape of this shape is the problem. But zooming in and zooming out, also, no problem anymore. But even in this shape, there's no problem. We can have difficult experiences, but this shape, we can be in this shape. It's basically, we have to remember that and trust that. So, more or less, that's what I want to say. Just don't forget that we're, again, I have to repeat it because it's tends to be a kind of I don't know what a repeating message that in some way I need to be against or the fareg, or we can have a philosophy that the self doesn't exist and that I have somehow have to believe it, and it actually goes quite deep, and it can create a problem. anything that we want to work with, we need to see. Otherwise, we cannot work with it. We need to see and to welcome the self in order to begin to work with it. It's totally okay to just to welcome myself and love myself and say, here I am. And that's the beginning place. Then we start there with welcoming the arising of me as an experience, as a very dominant thought, as something that keeps running the show, ki'ilu. But we need to see that and welcome it, allow it, like rain, recognize, allow, explore. So, like I said a few times, that I think one of the most interesting words in the whole Bible is hineni, which is a very nice word, because it's an answer of Abraham to Elohim. So in other words, the answer hineni comes from the divine. It's not technical. It comes from the Elohut. It comes from something big. Where are you? Who are you? There's a lot of mystery in that, but we can say hineni. It's okay. Hineni. That's how we start. So I'm just emphasizing that we meet the self fully, honestly, and begin to undo the package. And that's what we're doing here. So we'll take a few minutes for practice.